God our Father, please take the words I shall speak and the thoughts to which they will give rise in our hearts and minds, that together we may respond to your call to us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First, and very briefly, the background to the book of Obadiah, the shortest book in the Old Testament. As we heard in Julia's reading, Obadiah is attacking the Edomites, a small nation in the Middle East with a historical, familial link to the Jewish people. He is telling them that there is trouble in store for them. Though you soar like an eagle, I will bring you down, declares the Lord. What had they done? When the Babylonians had captured and destroyed Jerusalem in 587 BC, they had not lifted a finger to help their Jewish cousins, but taken advantage and made a land grab for themselves. In Psalm 137 we read, "Remember, Lord, what the Edomites did in the day Jerusalem fell. Tear it down," they cried. "Tear it down to its foundations." You'll pay for this, Obadiah is saying. And sure enough, it was not long before Edom was itself attacked by an Arab coalition and destroyed. Here endeth the history lesson. And that, I promise you, is the last you will hear about the bitter, destructive squabbles that have bedeviled the Middle East for centuries and still do to this very day. But what, literally on earth, what on earth has that brief piece of history from long, long ago got to do with those of us who live in 21st century Britain? The answer, perhaps, rather surprisingly, is a great deal. For it is a small example of a vitally important principle that all actions or inactions have a consequence. St. Paul puts it very clearly in his letter to the Christians in Galatia. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. People reap what they sow. And remember Jesus' words in the Garden of Gethsemane, all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Every action or inaction has a consequence. It was true in the far-off days of Obadiah. It is equally true today. For God has created a moral world, a world in which there is right and wrong. And he has entrusted that world, this world, to humankind, to you and me, as his stewards, to care for it, to take responsibility for it on his behalf, so that made as we are in his image, we may reflect his nature. He is not an uncaring, absentee landlord. He is present through his Holy Spirit, but the day-to-day running of this world has been entrusted to us. And if God were to intervene every time we make a mess of things, we would be puppets, not responsible beings, learning to live as those made in his image and for his glory. And if we think for a moment how the vast proportion of human misery down the centuries has been caused by human action or inaction, power seeking, domination, failure to appreciate the needs of others, staying silent while others suffer. And of course, it still goes on. Food aid in famine areas siphoned off by speculators or local warlords, misguided and immature young people exploited by hate-filled terrorists like the teenage jihadi brides, and so on and so on. Global warming, plastic pollution. These sorts of things fill our papers. And natural disasters can so often be traced back to abuse of the environment or lack of proper safeguards like the terrible Grenfell Tower disaster. Yes, we cannot explain all earthquakes, tsunamis, etc. in these terms. There is a sense in which creation itself has come to reflect the corruption that distorts God's good and gracious purposes in creation. But bad choices by humanity have much to answer for. Every action or inaction has a consequence. The kingdom of God, which Jesus tirelessly proclaimed, exists when the love and authority of God are acknowledged and right loving decisions are made. And Jesus himself embodies that kingdom. And sadly, we still think that we can avoid the consequences of bad choices, even when we deliberately chosen to make them. If I bolt my meal in order to watch a television program, the consequences will probably be indigestion. And it's no use me praying to God that it won't happen. If I prefer to waste my time in pointless social media chit-chat when I should be revising for an exam, it's no use me praying to God that all the questions on the exam paper will cover that small part of the syllabus which I have revised. God has ordered a moral world in which there are consequences, and we ignore that at our peril, both as individuals and as a society. I want to quote some words from a recent article in the Sunday Times, reflecting in the light of so much teenage violence on the proper setting in which to bring up children. It reads, "Too many people and families, children, adults, and society as a whole experience the emotional and financial costs of shattered relationships. If we allow the myths to persist that marriage is just a piece of paper, that getting married makes no difference, and is just as likely as informal cohabitation to fail, or that as a simple alternative, common law marriage exists, then the result will be more breakdown, more costs, more hurt and pain, and more children whose chances in life are compromised." That was not written by a church body. It was put out by the Marriage Foundation, a group founded by a High Court Family Division judge who had seen the daily misery of those who passed through his court. And it was commended in the paper by Rod Little, a secular social commentator who was not afraid to tell us as it is for fear of upsetting people. Bad decisions have consequences. Local media have been following the case of a woman who took her own life when all her benefits were stopped because she failed to respond to a letter from the Department of Works and Pensions, which in fact she had not received. Someone decided to go ahead with that action against her without further checking. Profuse apologies were too late. All our actions and inactions have a consequence. Obadiah, of course, is in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, by which God related to his creation and to humankind. We have the inestimable privilege of living under the new covenant, and I have the undeserved but immense privilege of being a minister of the new covenant, a minister of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. The old covenant was perfectly moral and reflected God's unchanging love for his creation by establishing the principles of right, life-enhancing conduct. That lengthy Psalm 119, in verse after verse, praises the law and thanks God for it. And God's intervention in the new covenant, in his coming among us, in and through the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, was not to change the moral law, but to bear the consequences of our failure, individually and collectively, to live by it, and to set us free to do so. In his death on the cross, Jesus, the Lamb of God, took away the sin of the whole world. As an old theologian put it, in a moral world, all debts must be paid. And in Jesus, God himself broke the vicious circle of sin and death by paying that debt himself on our behalf. That profound mystery, which we call the atonement, is stated unequivocally in the New Testament. Jesus himself said that he came to give his life as a ransom for many. It's stated, but never fully explained, because its explanation is beyond our understanding. So what is the message of Obadiah? What do we need to do to respond to that message so many centuries ago that every action and inaction has a consequence? 2 points stand out for me. Firstly, we need ever more thoughtfully to heed the clear message that all our actions and inactions do have consequences. Do I pass on that bit of gossip? Do I find an excuse for not turning up to help with that rather boring piece of work when I said that I would? Do I stand by silently when someone else is being unfairly criticized, and so on? These may seem very trivial matters, but I'm going to tell you about 2 apparently trivial matters which had enormous consequences, one for evil, one for good. A number of years ago, a boy of 11 or 12 was a regular worshipper at his church. He was devout and had a simple faith. He was even beginning to sense a vocation to become a priest. One day, there was a fight in the village between some boys, and one of the boys got badly hurt. The boy I'm talking about was on the edge of the fight, and he felt bad about his part in it. Being a Roman Catholic, he went to confession and confessed to the village priest. Against all the rules, the priest told the boy's father, who subsequently chastised him. He was so upset by that betrayal that he lost his faith, cut all his links with the church, and his career followed a different course. His name was Rudolf Hoss, and he became commandant of the notorious Auschwitz concentration and extermination camp. One bad action by that parish priest. The second story is set in a South African hospital during the years of apartheid. A young South African native boy was in a ward and had been for some time. He had no visitors. One day a white clergyman came to visit someone and noticed that this lad had nobody to visit him. So he went over and chatted to him and befriended him. Once out of hospital, the boy started worshipping at his new friend's church and came to a living faith. His name was Desmond Tutu. He went on to become Archbishop of Cape Town and a winner of the Nobel Peace Prize. One good action by an observant hospital visitor. And the second point to learn from Obadiah, since all our actions and inactions do have consequences, we need to align ourselves in faith with the reality that this is God's world, and that standing on the sidelines is not an option if each and every one of us is to fulfill his or her vocation as a person created in the image of God. And we must seek God's help to live up to that image, not in our own strength, but in humble trust and obedience to the King of Kings, in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Obadiah begins, "This is what the Sovereign Lord says." God grant us grace to acknowledge God as Sovereign Lord and to live as citizens of the Kingdom of God, a kingdom where right, loving decisions are made. To God be glory forever and ever. Amen.